All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Right After Dragons. Dats and Curry here reacting to, wow, episode 9. So 90% of the way there. Episode 9 is normally the big one. And Curry, how we doing, first of all?
I'm good. We didn't watch, or at least I didn't watch live last night. Made the decision to watch the Eagles instead, which worked out for the Eagles, but I was missing House of the Dragons in my life, so had to stay off Twitter all day. It was tough, but just watched and ready to react with the instant reaction here.
Yeah, well, we'll start with the title of the episode.
So the title of the episode was The Green Council, which just kind of refers to, you know, the green team, as we've discussed, is the High Towers and, you know, Aegon and Aemond and Helaena. You know, that's kind of the green team. You know, the High Towers, they have green, you know, the green is the light, you know, when they're at war in Old Town. So that's the green team and the Green Council. It's just, you know, they're kind of strategizing for the coming war, basically.
Yeah, I mean, title pretty self-explanatory, nothing crazy there. All right, let's just start from the beginning, Curry, because, I mean, there's a lot to get to. It's in episode 9, and let's just take it from the top.
Yeah, a lot to get to. It seemed to be a longer episode, but we pick up right where we left off. There was zero time jump. We go right from from our king's demise. So we have... episode starts with some random boy kind of wandering the halls of the castle, the Red Keep. And, you know, we don't know who he is. Never seen him before. And turns out
I like when they do this a little bit.
Yeah, I liked it because it's like, all right, like, who is this? Why are you on my screen? You know, oh, he's blonde. Is it like a Targaryen character? Like, what's going on? You know, you kind of have
We started, but like, we didn't start yet. It's like, we know nothing, but the show started.
Yeah. So he runs, you know, he's going through the Red Keep and kind of figure out along the way that he's a servant, and he goes and tells Allison's handmaiden, just kind of like whispers something to her. We don't know what, but we can infer that it's the king's demise and the king's death. And so we're seeing right there, you know, the network of spies that are pass information around in the Red Keep that gets referenced later in the episode.
That's how we open episode 9. You know, we're ready for a banger, and we're getting this on the screen. It's an interesting lead off hitter here for sure.
Sure. And then so he tells the handmaiden Talia. We saw last week that Talia, you know, we saw that she was in the ear of Missaria. You know, she's a spy. And Talia, she tells Allison, and, you know, they're talking a little bit. And I don't know if Talia, they kind of focused on her lighting the candles in the window. I don't know if that was supposed to be like a symbol, like a signal, or if that was just
Paul,
like
Paul Revere vibes.
Yeah. It was Paul Revere vibes, but I don't know if that was a signal or not, or if that was just like, hey, like, keep an eye on her because we know, you know, she's been a spy in the past. So we then go to you know, we figure out Allison has misinterpreted his last words. She's talking to Plato about it, and yeah, she's all 100% thinks that she's in the right, that his dying wish with his last breath, he said he wants Aegon to be king, and that's just not at all what he was talking about, which is
not even close.
So and it's so suspect that she's the only one who heard this, the only one who witnessed it, no one else. He never made any sort of you know, signal to anyone else that this was his intention. He never demonstrated that this is what he wanted up until his last dying breath, you know?
Yeah, he never even like wavered.
And everyone says that throughout the episode.
Yeah. He had a lot of time too.
Mm-hmm. So then we get to a small council meeting. Again, this is, you know, plot device to kind of usually to catch up on things, but we're already caught up because we know, you know, it's right from last week. But we see the small council, and It starts out with I think it's Jason Lannister.
Yeah, because, I think it is too.
So at first we were saying, no, it's not Jason Lannister. It's because he, you know, Jason Lannister was a douche. You know, it's probably his twin brother, Tyland. But the Lannister starts out the meeting by saying, like, oh, you know, what was it that couldn't wait till morning? He says some sort of, you know, witty comment. And I'm like, really? Like, he's got some personality. Like, this must be Jason. Mm-hmm. So I think it's Jason Lannister. And Plato announces to everyone, you know, that Viserys the Peaceful, we hear that yes. nickname twice this episode. We never heard it before. Yes. Viserys the Peaceful, you know, he's passed. They announced that his final wish was that his son Aegon should succeed him. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, they don't miss a beat.
This was the small council.
They don't miss a beat. They're like, you know, it's like clap, clap. All right, we're ready to go. As previously discussed, now we have his blessing. Like, let's run the play. Let's do what we talked about. Literally. Do what we practiced. You know, Aegon's going to be king, and now we have his blessing. So let's do it.
Yeah, they don't miss a beat. It's quick. Allison's taken aback. Like, what the
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
It's like the boys, it's like the old boys club. Like, was just like working on this. Like, you know, while the world's been spinning, these guys have been drawing up this play, drawing up this master plan, and now let's roll.
Yeah, so there's three people during this scene who were like visibly confused or, you know, taken aback by this. First was Allison, who she's like, you guys were plotting this like behind my back, like in secret, like, you know, what the hell? And they're like, oh, it was better for you not to know, and, you know, better for you not to be implicated. The second is Sir Harold Westerling. He's the the Lord Commander of the Kingsguard. And we've kind of seen him from like the beginning of the season. He's been kind of like a Rhaenyra guy. He's kind of been in her corner, not vocally, not like, you know, he hasn't picked a side up until, you know, this episode he kind of does, but, you know, he just kind of seemed to favor Rhaenyra. And so, yeah, he was visibly kind of bothered by all this. And then finally we have our boy, Lord Beesbury. So he's been almost comic relief for a lot of this season. He's you know, drones on, and he's always off topic and late, and no one knows what he's talking about. So he stands up and he's like, no, like, we're not doing this. He says like something about like, oh, I'm 6 and 7, and I'm 70 and 6, and this isn't, you know, I've known the king for longer than all of you, and this is not what he wanted. This is theft. This is treason. And he's flat out, you know, accusing the queen of theft and treason. And he comes down, he even says, regicide, killing the king. He says, you know, was anyone else with the king? Like, he was fine yesterday. So he's getting very aggressive, accusing Queen Alison of a lot of horrible things. And, in this moment, I thought Plato or Allison was just going to order him to, you know, that's treason, I'm going to take your tongue, something like, you know, something like that. And instead we have Sir Criston, without anyone ordering him, just goes and grabs him and says, like, they said sit down, and just smashes his head on the table on his little ball thing that they use to keep attendance. Smashes his head on the ball and just kills him there in his spot. Like, are you kidding me?
Fuck Criston Golden.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the second time we've seen Sir Criston kill some sort of nobleman with zero repercussions. And now, as soon as he does it, Sir Harold takes out his sword, says, you know, remove your cloak. Like, Sir Harold wants to reprimand him. But the queen's kind of stunned. Sir Criston says, oh, you know, I was defending the queen, I was defending her honor, like, you know. And Allison even says, like, Sir Criston, I wasn't insulted, like, no need for that.
What the fuck, bro?
So yeah, that was ridiculous.
Criston sucks.
He does suck. He came in
with so much potential as a stud.
He's like an incel because he was spurned by Rhaenyra, and now he's just like a simp for Allison. And he's just
got a hard on fucking just being that, like, total simp boy for the queen. It sucks. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, total, so yeah, total.
Quote of the week, early quote of the week. Now, I'm just remembering this scene and just like, fuck this guy and more to
come. So woke moves from Kristen. I think we, you know, goat moves from both Beesbury and Sir Harold here. So let's get to Sir Harold. So the council, the Green Council, the Small Council, they start plotting. Plotto's in charge. He's plotting. That's what he does. And he's talking about, you know, all right, let's send out a call to all our allies, all our bannermen, get them in here, get them on our side for, you know, Aegon's coronation and swear their allegiance to Aegon. You know, what about Storm's End? What do we do? So they're plotting, trying to set up their political allies and their, you know, for a potential war. And then the topic is, you know, what of Rhaenyra? What do we do about Rhaenyra? And Allison here is very much standing up for her friend or former friend, saying, you know, this is not what the king wanted. He didn't want anything to happen to Rhaenyra. So, you know, are you going to imprison her? Are you going to kill her? Like she's like, that is not what the king wanted. But Plato, he's not messing around. He's, you know, he's that little finger type where he's willing to play dirty, do the dirty work. He says, look, she'll never bend the knee. You know, we're going to have to take her out basically. And he gives the order to Sir Harold. So Sir Harold, take your knights to, Dragonstone, be quick and be clean. And Sir Harold is not having it. He takes his cloak off, like before the words are even out of Plotter's mouth. Takes his cloak off, says, I only take orders from the king. I'm, you know, leader of the King's Guard, and I'll take orders when there's a king. And he's out. So I think that was goat moves from him, a lot of honor. It reminded me so much of Sir Barristan Selmy in Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. who. He gets dismissed by Joffrey. It's a little different, but then he, you know, serves Daenerys all the way until his death. So he very, very similar, you know, where you have an older Lord Commander of the King's Guard. He's loyal to, you know, the old guard instead of the new, and similar, you know, very honorable.
Yeah, I think this is like pace wise. It's like, holy shit, we're moving. Like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like mm-hmm. there's not like, oh, this long funeral and people are crying and there's politics and there's, you know, pleasantries. It's like, no, 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 no. Like, King's not even wrapped up in his little silk sheet and the boys are moving chess pieces and they got the plan going. So it was pacey early. It was quick. I think we felt like Allison felt where it was kind of like, hey, like this news happened. All right, let's see how this breaks down. And suddenly it's just like, boom, boom, boom. Like, go kill Rhaenyra. And like, we're doing this. And like, Lannister, you're in. And Beesbury, your head smashed. And like, all right, let's roll. So it was an awesome, you know, opening 10 minutes for sure.
Yeah. All I'm saying is in Westeros and King's Landing, they're not canceling a week's worth of Premier League games to mourn the loss of the month. Yeah. So
10 days of, for, there was no 10 days of mourning for, our boy Viserys.
They mourn Viserys for 10 minutes, if that.
Yeah, 10 minutes. Exactly. And his peaceful reign is shortly ended and ready to be very violent very quickly.
Absolutely.
Where do we go from here, Kerr?
So we finished up.
Otto. Honestly, fuck Otto too, because this guy was down and out, and suddenly, you know, purely by him coercing his daughter to have small talks with trains with the king, he's now sitting here calling the shots. It's like, it's Littlefinger if like Littlefinger like got like essentially what he wanted.
It's Littlefinger if like Sansa had gotten on the throne, you know?
Yes, literally.
Or if Sansa had married, you know, Joffrey, and that's as close as he was gonna get. Anyway, so from here we have they're looking for Aegon. So Allison can't find him. She goes to Helena, her daughter slash, you know, the sister wife of Aegon.
Before we continue, I want to think Allison threatened to send, I forget who it was, to the wall.
Yes, one of the members of the small council.
That was like interrupting.
And yeah, like, I don't know if we got his name. We didn't in this episode. We may have in a previous one, but yeah, he was like interrupting her, you know, basically like mansplaining to her, like, you know, we're in charge, we got this, and, you know.
Yeah, we're doing the plan. She was like,
we're running the play.
Yeah, I'll send you the fucking wall. I like that. I mean, and I think real quick before we just get off this, it's just like Allison, like we saw kind of where she was at. Like she went like psychopath mode with like the cast ball dagger and be ready to, you know, take an eye for an eye. It was kind of like protective mother vibes. Mm-hmm. It was less like you're a bastard, so I'm going to take your eye. It was very much more like you fuck with my kid, I'm going to fuck with you. And then like, but post that, like in the most recent episode, she was like, you're going to be a great queen, you know? And so it was like, and I think I felt it was genuine. Mm-hmm. And now, so like, it's not like this play is like very much being run, but like, it, she's just kind of like, shit, like he told me like Aegon's the guy now. And so like, she's wrong with that, but she's not saying like, I went from like Allison sucks to like, now she's like, I think she's like trying to be as good as possible. I don't know. I just want to give her a little credit for like, hey, like I'll send you to the wall. Hey, we're not killing her. Hey, like, you know, a little bit more discretion warrants some, at least a head nod. All right.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think, you know, she really believes that she's in the right, that this is what her husband, the king, wanted. I think she was actually like part of Plato's plan. Yeah. I think she would have been totally on board with everything they're saying and would have been like, all right, we got to kill Rhaenyra. Like we got to tie up all our loose ends. We got to cover our tracks. Like we got to do this and that, but she actually thinks she's in the right. So she's like, you know, she doesn't want to go that far. So look, he didn't want to do anything to Rhaenyra, but he wanted Aegon on the throne.
Yeah. And I think the way she probably would handle it would have been like, hey, we got to go talk to Rhaenyra. We got to tell her this happened. Like, I swear on the freaking God of the Seven that he said this. And, like how can we work this out, like, without, like, shit going crazy?
It was kind of like almost, you know, make her an offer she can't refuse. Like, not quite a threat, but just, like, you know, hey, this is what's happening. You're either on board or you're not. Like, they wanted to kind of at least give her the chance to talk it out, bend the knee, you know. We can still be cool, but you're going to have to bend the knee.
Yeah, 100%. But all right, we get Where's the Prince? We got our boy Eric with a Y. What do we got, Curry?
So, yeah, so we're looking for Aegon. First spot we look is his wife, his sister wife, Helaena. She's real weird, and she's saying, again, she we've seen before, she has these talking weird, she has these almost like, you know, future visions or something. When she speaks almost in nonsense. And she said it before, she says it again this episode when they mentioned that Viserys is dead. She says, there's a beast beneath the boards. So we still don't really know. Well, I guess we do. Maybe at the very end, that would be telling. That's probably it. But and she said something else before that, before her mother walked in. But I kind of missed it, so I'll have to watch that one with subtitles. It was something like, you know, one can have it, but one can't. It was something foretelling, you know, war or the throne or something. But anyway, so she doesn't know where Aegon is. Aemon,
I love like her plot device, just like, hey, like we'll slip in foreshadowing like jargon, and then, like it's just like, you know, give you six words, it's like an anagram, and like you just like, and we'll just keep going on with the episode. It's like, wait, what was that? Like, what did you just say?
Yeah, it's like so, like nothing she says is actually relevant to, you know, what's going on, but into the future. So
exactly.
So yeah, so we're looking for Aegon. Aemon's there, and you know he doesn't know where he is, but yeah. So then Plato finds Sir Eric, and we saw Sir Eric last week, and find out, you know, there's also Sir Eric, and they're Eric and Arik, they're twins. So Plato says, so Eric, remove your cloaks, take your brother, go find Aegon, bring him back. And Eric, he was like in charge of Aegon. He was Aegon's like assigned Kingsguard. So he's like, you know, what happened? Like, why aren't you with him? He said, oh, you know, he uses his power over me to, you know, make me stay while he goes. Something like that.
Kind of a pussy move, but yeah.
Kind of, but I guess that's just how it goes. But
That's just it.
Anyway, so yeah. So then he's like, all right, take your brother, take your cloaks off, go find him. So the two twins, they go on the hunt for Aegon, and Allison orders Sir Criston to do the same. And Aemon kind of volunteers to help out as well. He's like, look, I know my brother, like we'll go together. So they head down. We first see Criston and Aemon, Allison's hunters, They're down.
Real quick, before you continue, did you feel like the show did an adequate job of prepping us for the major role that these twin brothers were going to play in this episode?
No.
Especially because they're fucking twins.
No, I think it would have helped. I mean, I think looking back that we've probably seen them in the show like a handful of times just as like nameless guys. And maybe like book readers were probably a little more prepared, you know, to be on the lookout for them. But yeah, it would have helped to have a little more of an introduction than just last week. Oh, are you Eric or are you Eric? I'm Eric.
Eric. They got same name twins, and it's like we got no background, and they're just like 48% of the episode.
Yeah, they were a pretty big role in these next few scenes, and kind of the hunt for Aegon. Like we kind of learn about Aegon, and we've already seen glimpses into what kind of guy he is. Like not a great guy, and this just kind of confirms that. So they're going to places like his places he frequents down in Flea Bottom, Silk Road, the kind of the underbelly of King's Landing. So they go to a brothel, and just zero discretion from Kristen and Aemon. They're talking to the woman who runs the brothel, and Sir Kristen basically says, "Hey, we're looking for someone." And she's like, "All right, who are you looking for?" And he's just like, it's the prince, it's Aegon." Like, really? Like that's your discretion? Like you didn't have something better? But anyway, and then like she recognizes Aemon obviously with the eye patch, and she's like, "Oh, look at you, you're all grown up." But yeah, so she says, "Haven't seen him here in years," basically. And she says, "His tastes are less discriminating," was her line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does that mean?
So sounds like weirder shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds bad. It sounds like it's
not good.
Yeah. So anyway, so then, we'll continue on with the Aegon hunt. We'll skip over, there was a scene with Plato, but we'll cover that later. So on the Aegon hunt, so next we are with the twins, and they stumble upon this place where there's basically like just child fighting, like dog fighting, cock fighting, like but with children, and it's
sharp and filed teeth.
It's yeah they're like telling each other about it. They're like, oh, you know, they file their teeth, they sharpen their nails, and yeah, it was brutal, just brutal. We never saw anything like this in Thrones, other than, I mean, I guess we saw like young girls in brothels, but nothing like this. And and they kind of say to each other, we've seen Aegon before, like we know what kind of, they basically say, we know what kind of guy he is, we know he's into this kind of stuff, you know.
Fuck's wrong with this guy.
And then they kind of like both eye up this kid in a corner in like the pits, and it's like a Targaryen blonde little kid, and they say, oh, it's one of Aegon's, and the other twin says, yeah, it's one of many, you know, from what I've heard. So apparently Aegon's got a bunch of little bastards running around in King's Landing from his exploits over the years, which is very believable if everything we've seen so far in the series about Aegon leads us to believe that, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. We're learning a lot quickly about our boy Aegon. Because I feel like we haven't really got we got the jerking off on the balcony. We got like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But this is like, this guy's fucked up.
Yeah, that's all we've known about him so far is that, he's very much into sex and he's very much into drinking. And he's not very much into politics and being king, and that's about it.
Yeah. But I continue on, Kerr.
We skip over from the twins to Aemon and Kristen. They're kind of like, all right, this search is useless. But Aemon, he the key takeaway from this scene is that Aemon basically claims he should be king. He stops short. He doesn't quite say that, but it's right on the tip of his tongue to Ser Criston. He's like, you know, he's saying that he, you know, he's more worthy, and he, you know, Aegon would be a terrible king, and you know, he would be a good king. He's just cuts it off before saying anything about the king.
He's read the history books. He studies his politics. He wants it. You know, he's a warrior. He trains hard. It's like, shit, Aemon, you know, it almost had like Daemon vibes when Daemon was like trying to get in there a little bit for the succession.
A little bit, but I feel like even then, like Daemon was very relaxed and he was almost a combo of the two of them, of Aegon and Aemon. Like he was in the brothels, he was hanging out, but he was a warrior, a leader. Aemon is like, he just seems to be that, like, all he wants is next war that's coming up, and he wants to be in charge. He's got the biggest dragon, he's a warrior, like, you know, I want to be in charge. So
yeah, I was saying, when I was saying Daemon, I was saying more like when Daemon was kind of making, not like Daemon by the way he acts, I'm saying more when Daemon was kind of like saying like I need to be the heir. Like, if you don't have a kid, I'm the fucking, right. I'm the rightful heir. Like,
well, and that's, without,
yeah,
that's something Daemon says, you know, I'm next in line, and bro, that's not true.
Exactly.
We saw them this episode. There's two little kids. I think at least one of them's a boy. Jaehaerys. That Aegon and Helaena have. So Aemon would not be next in line. He would be at least third in line. But anyway.
Yeah. So that's what I meant. But continue, girl.
So now we. A woman, we're back with the twins. A woman, they're like heading out, and a woman kind of calls over them, says like, "Hey, you know, I know where Prince Aegon is." So they follow this woman, and let's see.
Did you understand that? Let's see this as we're going through. Did you understand, like, as this was unfolding, that this was like kind of like two teams going after Aegon instead of like one team with two different sources? You were feeling that? You were understanding that there's like...
I felt it, but also like... So, I mean, obviously we saw that, you know, Plato sent his team and Allison sent her team, but the... Like, Allison and Plato, what was the difference in their two teams? The difference was basically just Plato wants to kill Rhaenyra and Allison doesn't, but like, what does having Aegon have to do with that, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
So, but yeah, but they were two different teams, and
I get they're two different teams. I'm saying, like, though, at the end, it kind of came together that it was like, if he gets caught by this group, like, it's a lot different than if he gets caught by this group.
Yeah, right? I didn't really understand, like, what would have been the difference if he was taking a Plato first, or if he was taken to
So they have a fight about it. It's like he's right here. Like, what's the, you know what I'm saying? It's like. That wasn't like complete. That's what I was kind of saying. Like, this part was like quick and like informative and like all that in terms of like Aegon's a bad guy, but like it wasn't with the lack of build up on the twins and like the lack of explanation as to like Allison was saying, like, get him back here so we can like talk some sense into him, and then like the Plato saying, like, you know, I want to beat his ass, pretty much, is like what, like. That was the vibe I was getting. Like, he wants to meet you outside the city, and he's like all scared about it, and he wants to go to his mom. And that would just kind of came out of like the end. Like, it didn't come out of the beginning for me. But all right, continue, Kerr.
So this woman, she says something about the white worm. She says to the twins, and we know, I don't know if we ever confirmed it, but we kind of learned from earlier in the episode, in this series, that the white worm is Missaria, the Daemon's former paramour, and she's also running this kind of spy ring we saw last week. You know, she's got the spy ring with Talia, the handmaiden, and even going way back to when Rhaenyra and Daemon were in the brothel together. That was like the first time we heard of like the White Worm and saw that there was a little spy network. And at the time, it got back to Plato, but we didn't realize that it wasn't actually his doing. So anyway, so they say that something about the white worm, And then next we get the Aemon and Kristen team. Let's see. They're sitting with Misaria, right?
They bring in a yeah.
So yeah. they get brought directly to Misaria, and Plato's there as well. And she's we mentioned it last time we had an episode with her. Her accent is just, it's probably the worst part of the show right now. Like her accent, it's, I don't know if it's Jamaican. I don't know if it's supposed to be like a gypsy accent or what, but it's unwatchable. It's so bad.
You're right on with that.
So she's talking to Plato and she's kind of like, she's really making plays. And this is, they've met before. They met back at the first Dragonstone episode, so she says to Plato, she says, look, you know, I'll show you where he is. The first thing she says, I think, is like, you know, sorry for the loss of your king or something like that. And then they give her the sack of gold because they're like, all right, she's legit.
It's like prove you know what's going on.
Yeah. She makes this big speech about power, and she says, you know, there's no power but what the people allow you to take, and you know, remember who put him there when he's on the throne, basically saying like not just her but like the people, the small people, the common folk are who put him there is kind of what she's saying. So like,
yeah, like we could fucking up, like, you know, fucking uprise,
and we see that later in the episode that like, yeah, the people's support really, really does matter.
Yeah, we talked about this in the pod as we go along, so we haven't seen that, but like that is like kind of like the missing thing we haven't seen. That matters.
So now we finally get to Aegon, and the twins get there first. He was hidden like under this like candle thing in a looked like a sept or something, not like the main one, but
vibes.
Yeah. And so it's Eric and Eric get him first. He's not happy about it, and
he looks like shit.
Yeah, he looks awful. And at this point, the twins have a rift here. Eric refuses to help, and Eric is like, you know, I'll do it myself, whatever. So Eric, who I think, you know, he was the first one who was contacted. He was the one who I guess has been assigned to Aegon and probably knows him better. He at this point is like, look, I don't want to support Aegon. I don't want to help out with this. I don't, you know, almost saying I don't want him to be king. And Eric is like, all right, well, I don't really care. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
So Eric has him. And then Sir Criston intercepts him, pulls out a sword. We get a little, you know, pretty big action sequence or sword fight between Eric and Kristen. At the same time, Aegon makes a run for it, but Aemon grabs him and they have their own little scuffle, but it's not really it's not a fight. I mean, Aemon's bigger and stronger and the better fighter, so he just kind of,
there's no weapon.
Yeah, right? Yeah, he's just spare hands just grabbing him. So Kristen disarms Eric doesn't help, Aemon grabs Aegon and kind of, you know, Aegon's like, you know, I don't want to be the ruler, and Aemon's like, you know, yeah, I'm not going to argue with you on that one, but
yeah,
it's not my call. And that's the end of this, you know, Aegon hunt.
Yeah, and he wants to Aegon wants to like give me a ship, I'll get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't even care. Like, he's so steadfast against it. And this is kind of where we saw a little bit of the, like, because Plata wanted to meet him outside, right? That was like outside of the city walls. And Allison wanted to bring him back to like, and he was like, where's my mom? Like, I want to go to my mom. That was like a direct quote. Like, I want to go to my mom.
Yeah.
And that's where it like came clear, like, okay, like there's two different, like getting Aegon first, like matters or does it? Or I don't know. But like, it's just, that's like where this came clear at least. But that's the end of the hunt for sure. We got them pinned down and you know, we got them under their hold for sure.
Right. So let's run it back. Let's rewind a little bit just to the other plot that was going on during the Aegon hunt. So We had, let's see. First, we had Rhaenys. We had the queen who never was, so she's still in King's Landing. And she is locked in her chambers in the guest room, basically. Mm-hmm. She's locked in. She hears that someone locked her in, and she's like trying to get out. And she's like, you know, what the hell? What's the meaning of this? So that's the first Rhaenys scene we see, just that she's there. She's locked in. She's being held kind of against her will. Mm-hmm. We see a bunch of the servants are being kind of led down into the dungeons, I guess. And Laris Strong, he's helping out and locks them into the dungeons. So like, what's going on? What are we doing here? Basically, they're, you know, Team Green, the Green Council, is trying to keep this under wraps about, you know, Viserys dying. They don't want that to get out.
No leaks.
No, exactly. No leaks. Which is why it's so kind of surprising later when Missaria, you know, addresses, you know, oh, sorry to hear about the king, or, you know, however she worded. Okay, and then another cutaway during the Aegon hunt was, you know, all the lords, the bannermen, kind of. I don't know if they showed up immediately. I mean, this seemed to be it all in one day, but I guess it's just lords that were already in King's Landing or local to King's Landing.
The ambassadors or whatever.
Yeah, like the guys from the state house or something. The embassy. Yeah. So we have a bunch of lords, and Plato is just running the show, and he calls them in, you know, to the throne room and says, you know, look, Viserys changed his wishes, swear your allegiance to King Aegon, you know, right now, basically. And Laris is there, and Kristen's there, you know, the whole crew of Team Green, all the right and left hand men of Plato. And you know, some of the lords right away take a knee, whatever. Some are hesitant, and we see, you know, one guy's an older guy, says, look, I gotta go back and talk to my house about this.
He's gotta talk it over.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta talk it over. And Plato's like, nope, not doing that. Gotta decide right now. Can't leave till we decide. And he's like, all right, well, I'm no oath breaker. I can't do it. And then there's like another, a woman, she says, you know, I swore allegiance to the princess. So that's where my allegiance is. And then there's like a third guy. And I think we've seen him before. Again, I don't know if we got a name, but we've seen him before. I think he might have been the guy that greeted Rhaenyra and Daemon. Mm-hmm. Was that last week? I think it was last week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that lord, and he's very hesitant. And then all of a sudden, the other two, you know, the two that stood up, they get taken away. So he kind of reluctantly takes a knee, and he's the first one who says, you know, long live the king. He's like trying to
slides it in.
Yeah. So that we see what Plato's got going on. He's, you know, rallying the troops and getting rid of the people who aren't loyal. Just classic, I don't know, classic. I was going to say like dictator moves, but I don't know if that's the right phrase. Yeah. But he's just preparing, you know, to make sure that no one is against Aegon. So let's see. The next cutaway after, you know, during the twin hunt, is we have that. So the bald lord, whose name we don't have at the moment, he's fleeing. He's getting out of there. We see he's hustling. He's getting on a horse. He's at the gates. He's getting out of there. Presumably,
not a liar strong.
Presumably, you know, he's going to get out of there and go run to Rhaenyra, or, you know, warn Rhaenyra about what's going on. But
tell the realm.
Yeah. But Lara, yeah, send a raven, dude. Just get out of
there. Call Times. Call New York Times.
And Laris, he caught him. You know, his spies or his knights, his agents, whoever, they caught him trying to leave. They bring him back to Plato, and Plato's like, you know, what's going on? What were you doing? Like, oh, nothing. I was just leaving. Like, all right, why are we leaving so fast? And he's got nothing. He's caught red-handed.
Yeah, have a fucking alibi.
Yeah.
Like, here you go.
Yeah, nothing. Make something up.
He didn't even say anything. He just ate it.
Just, yeah, bad stomach ache. I had to get out of here. Like, yeah, there you go.
My wife's pregnant. She's 9 months pregnant. I got to go.
Yeah, any of that. Anyway, so we do see him later. Through Rainey's perspective, he was hanged. So poor one out for that guy. I'll look him up. We'll get a name later. But yeah, poor episode for him. So then, yeah, just one last thing. In that scene, we have Larry Strong talking with Otto, and Plato says something to him like, "Oh, you know, Sir Laris, Lord Laris, you've spent many hours with the Queen as of late," and they kind of leave it there. Like, I mean, Laris says like, "Yeah, like, you know, but I'm on your," he says like, "but I'm on your side," or, you know, "I'm on her side."
Yeah, he's like, my time can be built, used to help you, of course, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, like he's so shady, so slimy.
It's a sketchball.
Yeah, and he gets even worse later in the episode. But yeah, he basically says to Plato, he says, you know, "Yeah, I'm spending a lot of time with her, but, you know, if you need something, need me to do something, you know, I'm your guy." So our next scene, I think now are we completely done yet? No, we're still, you know, got the cutaways during the Aegon hunt. Now we have, and we've seen this was a major scene during, I don't know if it was the trailer for this episode or if it was like the second half of the season trailer, but it's something we've seen in the trailer leading up to this episode. Mm-hmm. Rhaenys confronts Alicent. This was a big scene. And Rhaenys calls her out right away. She's like, you're usurping the throne. You know, this isn't right. This isn't what the king wanted. And Alicent's like, no, like, it's what the king wanted. It's his last words. And she's just like, yeah, okay. And Alicent's like, you know, I want to ask for your support. You know, and then she gets real with her. She says, look, like, I love Viserys. He's my husband, but we both know the Iron Throne was yours. You know, you should have, it was rightfully yours. And people have been telling her this. Big pander. People have been telling her this all season. Her husband, Rhaenyra, I think, even said that to her. People have been telling her this all season, and her response has always been like, no, like, I don't even care anymore. Like, that's history. I don't want it. Yeah. But now Alicent is, she's throwing up a Hail Mary here. She's like, she's gassing her up. She's like, look,
girl power.
Yeah. She's like, you can have, I need you on my side. You can have Driftmark. You can have, you know, your daughters can have it. Like, look, we both know, you know, those kids aren't your blood. They're not Velaryons, but, you know, you and your daughter and the granddaughters, like, they, you guys can have it. You know, whatever you want, basically. She's really, really, really needs her. She
really laying it on.
I mean, they size up the dragons in the war, basically. And they're like, all right, who has more dragons? Maybe it's kind of even. I'm not sure exactly, but if we get Rhaenys, we get her dragon, we get Melys. So we definitely want that. Mm-hmm. And as she's saying all this stuff, Rhaenys, she's not showing her hand. We saw, you know, last week she was kind of team black. And she says, you know, look, you, Alicent, you still toil in the service of men, you know, whether it's Plato or your son. And then she, you know, she whispers like, have you never pictured yourself on the Iron Throne? That was like the big scene from the trailers. And at this point, like, when I saw her do that, I thought maybe she was just trying to get in her head, like, tell her what she wants so that she can then sneak out of there. And we see, you know, she doesn't really get a chance to do that until later when she's ultimately like rescued, basically. But yeah, so that's kind of the end of the Alicent Rhaenys scene. But big scene.
Isn't that kind of pointless, though? It's like, she's never going to be in the Iron Throne. Like, you know, it's not like she doesn't have like a play or a claim, you know?
Yeah, yeah, she's not Targaryen blood.
It's just so kind of like a throwaway. It's just like a throwaway.
I think it was.
But they hyped up that line, like, it's like, have you ever imagined yourself in the Iron Throne? Like, but there's no way that she would ever be. It's not like she could sit there and say like, oh, like, you know, it's my, I'm just gonna be the queen without the king now. You know.
I mean, Cersei Lannister does years later, but that was a little more extreme. But I think it's definitely similar vibes, and Yeah, I think it was more of about like her ambition rather than like actually being on the throne.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Then we got, so Aegon's found. We don't really get much post that. But we get like a little sit down, right? Next is like a little sit down between the queen and Lara Strong.
Yes. Yeah. So,
this is fucking weird.
But we have a little, little Plotto and Allison scene where it's, you know, oh, I have Aegon. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Plotto's pissed. He says something about, you know, look, we have to forfeit the lives of a few to protect the many. Talking about, you know, we have to kill Rhaenyra and Daemon probably. And Allison's like, no, we're gonna send terms to Rhaenyra. But Plotto's like, all right, well, Aegon's gonna be king at dawn. We're gonna crown Aegon. He's gonna carry Blackfyre. He's gonna wear the crown of the Conqueror. So they're putting on a show for Aegon. They want to make sure that he is looked upon by everyone as an intimidating leader, as, you know, the second coming of the Conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to your boy Larys.
It's fucking bizarre.
So,
did you understand what's happening here?
Yes. So
I understand. What was going on with his foot?
So that's been that way all season. So
he's just got like a club foot.
Yeah, so I think that's like his nickname in the book, I think, is Clubfoot. And that's, oh, really? Yeah, so that's, he's got the cane and he's not like a fighter. Yeah. Like he's just got a club foot. It's just,
it's like kind of zoomed in on his foot with like,
well, I think they wanted to emphasize that, hey, there might be a reason why he's in defeat.
Yeah, I guess that is the reason. I guess that's like what they were saying. Okay.
Anyway, so yeah, my note here is just Larys, you creep, because even before the feet come out, Allison goes back to her chamber. She's like pouring herself a glass of water, and then all of a sudden, Larys is like behind her, like just
so weird,
just like appears and like says something to her, and so creepy. So then, yeah, they're sitting and talking, and he's like offering information to her, and in exchange for this information, first she puts her feet up on the table, and she's taking off her leggings and her stockings, and it's like, this dude is staring at her feet, and it's like, what is happening? Oh my god, that's what's happening. Like,
yes,
slides his hand into his crotch. It's like, oh okay, this is happening. We're doing this.
This is the deal. This is like the deal they have.
This is like the original like selling feet pics for money on the internet. Like this, yeah, this is what she's doing.
Literally.
So aside from jerking off defeat, he does drop some sort of like bee metaphor, and we know he has like the bee on his cane.
I showed that.
Something like, you know, you kill the queen and the bees, you know, they lose their direction, or, you know, something like that. And he says, you know, apologize for the metaphor because talking about killing the queen. But what he was talking about was the spy network.
Yep.
The Red Keep. He says there's a spy network in the Red Keep, and, you know, Plotto wants it to happen. He allows it to happen because he's used it to his advantage at times. But, you know, I can take care of that if you want me to, basically, is what he says to
mm-hmm.
to Allison while he's pleasuring himself to her feet. And and he says, you know, oh yeah, your handmaiden Talia, like she's part of it. So anyway, so then he basically says he's going to take care of it, and
cut it off by the head.
Yeah, we know what happened last time he took care of something. He mm-hmm. murdered his brother and father. He, you know, burned down. Yeah,
for the feet.
And can I just? I saw on Twitter while I was you know, immediately post reaction to the show. Obviously, we're 24 hours later, so there's a lot more stuff on Twitter than usually. But I saw someone posted a video. It was of like that first time that we saw Larys and Allison having like their dinners, and she actually, like, the first thing she does when she enters the room is like she takes off her shoes.
Yeah.
So I mean, they didn't focus on it, but clearly, like, this has been happening for a while. And I mean, you could tell by the way that they both reacted that this has been happening for a while. And it's for Allison, like, her whole thing is honor and duty. And, you know, she was so mad at Rhaenyra for sleeping with Criston Cole, and not that she's not sleeping with him, but yeah, she's just, seems like this is, against her code, against her morals, beneath her maybe, but whatever, she's doing it.
All right, where do we go from here, Kerr?
Let's see.
Jail, like that?
From here is Eric, right? Eric and Rainey.
So
we get Eric breaks into Rainey's chambers, and he's rescuing her. He's like, you know, you got to get out of here. So he's leading her. She's got a cloak on. She's covered. He's leading her through, trying to get her out of the city. This is when we find out that bald lord was hung. We see him hanging up somewhere, his throne room or dungeon. I forget. I think it was. Was it by Balerion, by the dragon skull? Is that where it was? Because she did like a double take there, I think.
Yes.
So then, you know, she's being snuck out, and just bad vibes going on here. I thought maybe there was going to be like a twin double cross. Like, we thought this was the good twin. Yeah. Turns out it was the bad twin. But
yeah.
But
he brings it right to Plato, and he fucks his head off.
Yeah. But that's not what we got, and instead we see they get separated. There's like a mob going on in the streets, so they get separated, which is kind of weak from Eric. Like, how can you not like stay arm's length from it with this woman? But whatever. And as they're navigating the city, we see that there is a big fire in one of the building apartment looking things. So we know that this fire, did they show Laris or no during this fire?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's heavily implied that this is Laris setting a fire, and this, you know, he's potentially like, is that where Talia lives maybe, or is that where the network spies is? So yeah, it's
leaving his little arson footprint.
Exactly, his club footprint there, Laris.
But all right, so they get separated. Then we, they get to the big showing. Everyone's getting rushed in, right? Is there anything else?
Yeah. So we have Allison and Aegon on the little cart ride, and it's just a quick scene. But Aegon's clearly unhappy, and he's like, Dad didn't love me. He had so long to name me king, but he never did. He never told me he wanted me to be king.
It's a pity party, yeah.
Yeah, and then she's like, no, like this is his dying wish, and. She's got the cat's paw dagger there for him, and like that's when he gets serious. When he's like, are you serious, woman? Like, don't play with me, woman. Something like that. And so she gives him the cat's paw dagger, and that's when he's like, okay, like this is real. He says to her, like, do you love me? And she says, like, you imbecile.
You're an imbecile.
Yeah, you're an imbecile. I think that's a no. But last week she said, you're no son of mine.
Yeah.
And so that's the quick scene between the two of them. Then Rhaenys is in with the mob, trying to navigate it. And for some reason, she follows the crowd to the coronation. She's not trying to get out of there anymore. So she follows the crowd to the coronation. Plato's again, the ringleader, and makes all the announcements. And we got Aegon, second of his name. They barely even take the time to mourn Viserys, as we said. It's like, hey, it's a sad day. Viserys has died. Viserys the peaceful. Yeah. But it's a great day. It's a joyous day because now we have Aegon the second.
Next sentence.
Yeah. And Aegon, like they put on a big show. They got the horns. They got this like entrance with the knights with their swords. Kind of cool. Kind of cool. We haven't seen anything like that in Game of Thrones.
Kind of badass.
I kind of like that. But Aegon just doesn't look like a king. He's so uncomfortable. He's not confident. But then, when they finish up their little ceremony, this gave me like strong Jeb Bush vibes here, the please clap. So they like announce him, and like it's kind of quiet, kind of a weak reception. But then it starts. Then people are clapping, people are cheering. And then Aegon, like as the crowd, he feeds off the crowd a little bit there as they start cheering for him. He's like, raising his sword and fist pumping. He's like, he's feeling himself a little bit. He's
feeling the power. I think
he's got the support of the people.
And then
then we have the beast beneath the boards. We have I don't know. I didn't see this coming. I will say I think my wife might have mentioned it, but I didn't see it coming at all. We have Rhaenys and her dragon Melis come out from the floor. I guess you know, we've seen the dragon pit plenty of times. It's like a pit. It's underneath. So she bursts through the floor on her dragon and kills a whole bunch of innocent people in the process, but ignore that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just an awesome visual. And Melis just gets right up in the face of Alicent and Plato and Aegon. It's mainly Alicent and Aegon. And we get this triumphant roar, but no flames, no Dracarys, just a roar, just an intimidating roar. And then just like that, she's out of there. And that's the episode.
Yeah. So, Curry. So what do you think? Instant reaction. This is the Instant Reaction Podcast. What do you think?
So, I mean, yeah, my instant reaction was, wow, like what a power move from Rhaenys. Just huge, huge blow to Team Green, huge, you know, kind of a victory there for Team Black. Team Green, obviously, you know, they got the public support and that was huge. And that was Plato's goal with all this. But Allison's goal this episode seemed to be, you know, Rhaenys. Plato never said anything to Rhaenys this episode. It was all Allison. And yeah, Rhaenys, she's picked her side for sure. But I will say that, you know, the issue was, why wouldn't she just kill him? Right. Why no Dracarys, you know?
Yeah. And I was pissed at the end of the episode about this. Just like such a head scratch. Like, plot holes are plot holes. And like, you know, when you're going to dissect the show this heavily, you're going to get plot holes. But this is felt like a mega, mega, mega plot hole.
I saw, you know, I watched, I usually don't, but I watched a little bit of like the, you know, directors inside the episode, and their quote on this, it was so stupid. This reminded me back of, you know, Thrones last season when the directors just lost their way. But yeah. the director, the showrunner said something like, oh, you know, mother to mother, like she didn't want to take away her child or like something like that. Like, because they're both mothers, that's why she didn't kill them. It's like, are you serious? Like, let's not just make stuff up. Like, let's
the only plausible explanation is that she feels that this can be handled without like mega war, I guess.
I think it could also
be handled like without mega war if you just kill him.
Yeah, I think it's just that, yeah, she didn't want to be the
nuke user.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't want to pull the trigger first. She didn't want to shoot first. She didn't want to, especially, you know, without like Rhaenyra, or, you know, without consulting Rhaenyra. You know, it's not her war. It's not Rhaenys' war, you know?
Yeah. And so she kind of like presses the pause button on their plan, on their usurping of the throne, because now it's like, this is going to be major fallout. And then like get some time to get back with the troops, I guess. But it's just like, damn, like literally 12 feet away from being able to just blow them away. Kind of like,
yeah, could have ended it all.
And like, that's not Thrones, because it's like, that's not how it goes. But like, I would have honestly would have felt better if she just like snuck out and flew away.
Yeah. Like if the dragon like wasn't, you know, trapped underneath, if the dragon was just like chilling.
Well, the dragon left, obviously could get out. It got in there somewhere without blowing up everything. So she easily could have just left. Not easily, but like she could have just like
left the dragon.
Instead, like she blows up the whole of the roof just to like bark in their face and then head out, which just makes it kind of like a little empty. And it's episode 9, Curry. You know, and so this
is that's. That's the biggest thing.
This is no episode 9 of mine. That's for sure.
This was a disappointing episode 9, for sure. Yeah, like if this was episode 8, I would have been fine with it. But it's episode 9. Episode 9 just has a higher standard. So yeah, definitely a little disappointed that there wasn't more of a payoff. Yeah, the payoff in the moment was good, but it didn't last long. Like you think about it, you let it sit for a little bit. It's like, wait a minute, like. that was it. Like we didn't get more.
Just stop. She just paused everything and then just left. It's just like, fuck. Yeah. And it's just like, all right, where do we go from here? It's like, where do we go from here? It's just like green versus black. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where we were fucking 58 minutes ago.
So I think some bigger takeaways from this episode. So again, it was called the Green Council and it was focused entirely on King's Landing and, you know, Allison and Team Green. There was no Rhaenyra, no Daemon, who are, you know, two of the main characters, two of the most popular characters. No Rhaenyra, no Daemon. So I think next
brother and son. Brother and daughter of the dead king.
Yeah, yeah. So I think next week we're gonna get a heavy dose of Daemon and Rhaenyra, almost like to make up for it. But yeah, so we didn't have any of them. But the Rhaenys, she didn't you know fire, she didn't kill anyone. She still, I think, has kind of, I think she, that's still like the spark that ultimately ignites the flame of the war here. I don't think that action is going to go unnoticed or unpunished, or, you know, I think they're going to have to react to that. And there's been so many of those actions like throughout the course of the season. Like you could have said the same thing about last week about Aemon with his toast, or even like Aemon stealing Vhagar. Mm-hmm. There's been so many like little things, but I think this is obviously a lot bigger than anything we've seen in the past. Like it was King's coronation and she was on a dragon and like made a very loud statement. So I think, I think this is the final spark that ignites the flame.
Yeah. We'll do preview pod when we preview. That's just his reaction. But we only got one epi left. And so I don't know. I think it's like a season one of a series, you know what I'm saying? And so I think that's mm-hmm. like, I think we're so used to like Thrones and like big dramatic, like obviously the Throne ending, the second last season of Thrones ending, like we're in season one of a series, you know? And so mm-hmm. I think we got to remember that when it comes to like moving the ball forward. I think we've kind of gotten a little used to the ball being moved super forward with just the time jumps, but like we're in season one of a series and it's not going to end with anything like probably super definitive.
I mean, the war is not gonna be decided next week.
Exactly. Sure.
Got a couple seasons at least.
Exactly. And so I think that's like something we gotta keep our head on straight when we're thinking about this. Just in terms of micro episode, like episodic takeaway, it's like Epi 9, season 1, started off, you know, very obviously green versus black, and then ended just green versus black. Not much moved either way.
And it's disappointing when you think about it, because Game of Thrones, season 1, episode 9, was Ned Stark getting beheaded. Like, that was a defining moment for the entire series. That set the tone for the whole series of, okay, this is a different show. Like, you thought he was the protagonist the entire season one. He was the protagonist. He was the main character, big name actor, Sean Bean, and he gets beheaded and it's like, whoa, like what just happened? And now here we are, episode 9, and it's like, what, you know, yeah, it was fine, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but if she kills Allison and Aegon, and it's like, okay, Plato and Aemon, like, and this is how like it all, like that would be like, holy fuck, like, okay, like that's crazy. But like,
yeah,
then nothing happened. You know, they just killed some civilians on the way out and just collect $200 pass go and head out with one big roar, and now we're back to, you know, tables with maps on them and talking about war. That's where we're at. So I think overall, informative episode in terms of learning about Aegon, in terms of learning how Plato-y Plato is, and how
Plato and Laris, how they're scheming, plotting all the time.
Scheming, there's spies, there's foot fetishes. Okay, cool, cool, cool. It's a great episode 7 for sure. Great episode 8 for sure.
I think the other thing, we keep an eye on Sir Harold and Sir Eric, because they both seem to be leaning toward Team Black. So we might see them showing up, if not next week, then, you know, further down the line, being on Armaneer's team.
100%. Good call. All right. Anything else, Kerr?
Just some our goat and woat nominees, as always. So we already said we saw some goat moves from Sir Harold. Lord Beesbury, throw him up there. Even though he got smoked, he went out, you know, standing up for what was right. I think, who else? I mean, you could say, Aegon, like, he's king, but was it really a good episode for him? I don't know. Rhaenys obviously is kind of the obvious choice. But again, she could have ended the war and instead just didn't. You could say Plato. I mean, everything he wanted this week, he kind of accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
You could say Laris, dude is in defeat and saw a lot of them. And, he accomplished, again, similar to Plato, he accomplished everything he wanted to this week. He, again, you know, showed that he's loyal to Allison and can do her dirty work.
Yeah. Whoa.
Woat? I don't know. Who had a bad week? I mean,
guy who got hung, 100%.
Guy who got hung, yeah, we'll get a name for him.
Beesbury, 100%.
Beesbury, yeah, yep.
Probably the worm.
White worm, I think she's probably fine.
You don't think she's in that fire?
I thought it was more Talia, but no, I guess it is. I guess it was. Yeah, I guess it was. Oh, I don't
know. We'll probably find out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what wasn't the best episode for Rhaenyra? We didn't see it.
I was just gonna say Rhaenyra.
Not the best episode for Rhaenyra. Yeah, I guess we could take recommendations. And yeah. A lot of nameless characters this week who
Kristen Cole
didn't do too well. Kristen Cole, yeah. Just, hey, he got a promotion. He's now Kingsguard Lord Commander of Kingsguard.
Plus.
Good for you, dude.
Fuck that guy. But all right, Kerr, anything else?
I think that's about it. And big preview pod. We'll definitely have that out later this week. I'm just still a little disappointed in this week's episode. I wanted more. You know, I always want to root for the show. I'm a
fan. That's what I'm saying. We're show guys. You know what I'm saying? We're not critical.
We're not the critics who shit on the show, you know, just because it's cool to shit on the show, like the late season Game of Thrones. Like we want the show to be good.
Going for the show. And we give the show the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, this week's episode was just a little disappointing to the standard of, you know, the Game of Thrones standard. That's all.
Definitely. Payoff, minimal, feat, maximum. That's pretty much it.
And yeah, but you know what? I still have hope for next week. Maybe episode 10 is going to be the banger.
Yeah, it's a different series. You know, not all episode 9s are created equal, and not all series with episode 9s are created equal. And so maybe this series is – the finale is always a banger. Because this was a table setter for the finale. That's what it was. If you're
– Let's hope.
Yeah, if you're you know, frank about it, this very much sets up for a big finale. And with other shows and this non – you know, episode nine pretext. This is a very much, you know, a strong pre finale episode. So, anything else, Kerr? All right, we'll shut it down here. And all good. All right. Until the preview pod. Thanks for listening to Right After Dragons.